Scripture this morning is from 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter. It's chapter 1. We begin in verse 17. I know the bulletin says we're going to read through 23, but we're going to go all the way through 25. I'll give you a bonus. I don't want you to miss it. You call him Father when you pray to God, who judges all people by the same standard, according to what each one has done. So then, spend the rest of your lives here on earth in reverence for him. For you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was not something that can be destroyed, such as silver or gold. It was the costly sacrifice of Christ, who was like a lamb without defect or flaw. He had been chosen by God before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from death and gave him glory, and so your faith and hope are fixed on God. Now that by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves and have come to have a sincere love for other believers, love one another earnestly with all your heart. For through the living and eternal word of God, you have been born again as the children of a parent who is immortal, not mortal. As the scripture says, all human beings are like grass, and all their glory is like wildflowers. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This word is the good news that was proclaimed to you. This day, the good news proclaimed to you and reading of the word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, this morning as we talk about being holy, would you help us to reinforce what we already know and maybe learn a few new things? But in all of it, we just ask for your wisdom and guidance and help. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you a couple friends of mine, and there's a first one. This is my friend, of course, Dennis the Menace, and you know about him. He's such a good young man, but he's always getting into mischief. And then there's one more. I like this guy. I can identify with Pigpen. The world is like that, isn't it? You just go out in it and you, because you want to go have fun, and then sometimes you wind up like that. So you can put it back to the next one, John. I do know a little boy in real life. He's a little older now, but he was kind of a Dennis the Menace kind of a kid. Just full of life. And truly one of those that was the little boys, you know, made with snips and snails and puppy dog tails and... But he was always getting into mischief. He enjoyed so much playing in the outdoors. He couldn't wait for winter to get over, because then he could go out and play in the yard again. And, well, have you looked at your yard lately? We've had an interesting spring, haven't we? And yet little boys and young ladies all want to get outside, and they run around, and what happens to them? And sometimes they wind up looking like Pigpen when they come in. They've been covered with the dirt of the world. This little guy that I know, his mother, on Sunday mornings, you see, she thinks it very proper for him to wear a suit to church. Well, if you're a little boy, come on. And so frequently, she has to scold him and say, don't get your clothes dirty. And frequently, the poor little guy gets scolded again for getting his good clothes dirty. And the reality of this is he just wants to be out in the world. He just wants to have fun, and yet the world is a dirty place. Oh yes, the dirt from the ground is worthy to talk about, but there's something more that shows up in the scriptures that we've read for today, and that's a different kind of dirt in this world, and it's troublesome for us, isn't it? If you read ahead in 1 Peter, and now that I've begun to preach out of the first chapter of this, here's your homework, go home and read the rest of 1 Peter. It's not real long, you'll enjoy it. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Did you know you're chosen? But if you're going to be chosen, and it's a wonderful thing, it's a very good thing, it's a great thing to be chosen, then we do have a certain amount of responsibility to the one that has chosen us. Our God is holy, and then he calls us to walk in holiness. We are created in his image, that's what the scriptures say, and if God is holy and he walks in holy and we're created in his image, then we should do the same. You can find it directly if you look in the book of Leviticus where it says, "Be holy for I am holy." And so about this time you're thinking, I don't know if I'm real comfortable in church today. The pastor is talking about being something different than most of the rest of the world. I would just like instead to just be able to worship God and not have too many responsibilities. I would just like to have this relationship with God, but not be held to accountable like the rest of the world. And if I really became holy, wouldn't that take the fun out of everything? And of course, you already know the answer, but these are the temptations that seem to enter us whenever we think about living the way God wants us to live. That's more fun than anything. It really is. In the NIV translation of some of the scriptures that we've read this morning, it says this, "Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear." The word strangers, if you look it up in the original language, is sojourners. And what it means is it's a temporary residence, a temporary place. You and I, although this world is wonderful, we sometimes forget that we're just passing through. We're on a journey. We're headed for eternal life in another place. This world is not our home. We sing about it and pastors preach about it all the time, but it's true. So if we're traveling through, then that's okay, but what about this reverent fear thing? Fear in this case does not mean scary. Maybe I can explain it to you this way. I went to high school. I was not mischief free in high school. My mother and my father sometimes were rather disappointed in me. But we made it through, even though occasionally I found myself in mischief because everybody else was doing it. But I had a friend, a wonderful friend. He's retired now. He's a retired pastor, and I didn't know it at the time, but that was the call in his life from God. And he was never in trouble with his parents. Ever. It wasn't that he was afraid of the consequences, because I've already confessed that occasionally I might have been, well, occasionally I was in mischief in high school. And then there's always consequences. But my friend never had any consequences. Why? He had a reverent fear for his mother and father. It wasn't that he was afraid of them. He knew he would never have to worry about being punished even if he got into mischief. He just loved them so much. He never wanted them to be disappointed in him. And so he never had consequences to anything that he did. And trust me, we had a ton of fun in high school, the bunch of us together. A reverent fear of God really is just saying, let me live my life in a way that God will not be disappointed in me. That's called holiness, by the way. And we're called to be like that. We're called to be like the Israelites who heard this commandment from Moses to be holy just because God is holy. And so as believers in Jesus, we should remain spiritually separate from the world's wickedness. Now please hear me, that doesn't mean being spiritually separate from the people of this world. Because we talked about it last week, we have this wonderful responsibility, this wonderful opportunity to share the love of Christ with others. But we're called to stay separate from the wickedness of this world. If you need to know what wickedness is, watch the news. Check the news out on the internet. Read the warnings in magazines and newspapers. Read your Bible, and wickedness will become very clear to you. And even though we're supposed to be different, and we are different than those who just don't believe in Jesus yet, we rub shoulders with them every day, don't we? It is not easy to be holy in an unholy world, but God doesn't ask you to accomplish this on your own. He will help you. The Holy Spirit, you see, will come and will help you and help me to move in good directions, to make right choices. And then if we will but pray, a couple things will happen. One is we'll receive instruction and guidance in being holy, but we will also be given the humility to not become holier than thou. So that's one reason to be holy. There are many, but that happens to be one. I have another one for you this morning, and Peter talks about it in what we've read. And that's namely the fact that God paid such a high price, to secure your and my freedom from sin. See, the sin problem starts with Adam and Eve, doesn't it? And you remember they were living in a place called paradise in the Garden of Eden. And when I was in Kansas City going to school, on the route between where I was living and the seminary, there was a small restaurant, and it was called the Garden of Eaton, E-A-T-E-N. It was really good there. They had the most wonderful salads. But every time I'd drive by there, I'd see that sign, and it would remind me of the Garden of Eden, a place of perfection, a place where Adam and Eve dwelled that they didn't even know what evil was. They only lived in goodness. And God had spoken to them and said, you know, in the garden, you're free to go anywhere. You're free to eat of anything, but stay away from that tree, this one right over here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And why did God want us to keep them away from there? Oh, he didn't ever want them to learn about evil. So imagine with me for a moment that you and I could live in a place that we didn't even know what evil was. What an amazing, amazing place. But you know, Adam and Eve were tricked. They were tricked by the evil one. They ate some forbidden fruit, and then they realized what evil was, and they realized that they had a choice to make. They could choose good or they could choose evil. And sadly, as human beings, all of us, the pastor included, when we're given the choice between good and evil, if we are not careful, most of the time, we will choose evil. Why? Because everybody's doing it. It's okay. But then to clean that up, to get that out of our lives, this business of evil, there had to be something done to redeem us. That was God paying such a high price. We were redeemed by the man Jesus, by the divine Jesus on the cross. We were redeemed with every drop of blood he shed. His blood, much more precious than gold or silver, much more costly. But God gave it all. Jesus gave it all so that you and I could be redeemed. We could begin the work of understanding what holiness is. We can begin the work of having a real and wonderful relationship with Jesus the Christ. In this process of living a holy life, walking in holiness, we are being freed from sin. But it might take a while. For some of us, it's a real journey. It's sometimes a step forward and then a step back before we go forward again. But the good news about that is that most likely in this process, you will learn how to pray. You will learn how to pray and you'll get practice in praying. Even Tommy Tittlemouse knew, I'm in big trouble. I better pray. And God redeemed Tommy Tittlemouse. But the really amazing news is you and me. As much as we fall into mischief from time to time, God will redeem us because he loves us so much. And then our lives will be changed when we become an active participant with God in this business of holiness. Barb and I were with a family a few years ago. We were in another town. We were on a weekend teaching about the Holy Spirit. It's called a Life in the Spirit seminar. And we were staying in this couple's home and late one night we were talking and he finally brought up, it was a God moment that had brought us together, and he brought up that he was having great troubles at his workplace. He was making more money than he ever thought he ever would in his life. But he had joined this company and then he found out that they were doing some things that were not legal. And he went along with it for a while because, boy, the money was so good. Could do all kinds of things for his family with that money, but he realized it wasn't right and it was beginning to bother him. And so as he was trying and walking with Jesus in holiness, he realized something had to give here. And so we prayed with him that night, Barb and I, and we didn't pray for something to change at work. What we prayed for was God's wisdom and guidance to fall on that man so that he would know what to do. Sometimes we pray for the situation instead of praying for God's presence to come into the situation and guidance. It was a little while later we got word that the man, with God's guidance, he quit his job. He went in and told the owners of the company he could not work for a company that was cooking the books. And he resigned. He wrote us a note and he said, I've never been more at peace in my life than I was when I walked out of the office that day. He didn't have a job. He didn't have a salary anymore. There wasn't going to be any severance or unemployment, but he was at peace. You see, that's what God does when we walk in holiness. Even in the midst of great struggles, he will give us peace when we're walking with him. And Peter says, walk with God, walk in holiness. And then there's one more thing. Peter says, you know, when you do that, you'll start to love people. You'll start to love people in what is called agape love. Love without question. Even though you know they may not be perfect. Even though you know they may be people that have hurt you. Physically or personally or spiritually. But you can love them. I didn't ever think that was possible until I met this man Jesus, and he has been showing it to me ever since. We can learn to love the unlovable. It's an outcome of this business of being holy. Oh, we really can't do it on our own strength, but God will loan us his. The way to learn to love people with agape love, love without condition or expectation, is simply to be obedient. Simply to pray, to seek God, and then do what he tells you to do. We become born again, it says in the words from Peter. All of us are sinners, everyone, but we're saved by grace. And then we have received this new life, and in this new life, we should be motivated to do things God's way. When Christ comes into a life, it changes. New things happen, old things pass away. And so, as I finish this morning, I want to bring up Chuck Colson. For some of you, this is history. For some of us, we remember this. But Chuck Colson, Charles, actually, he was in the very inner circle of advisors for President Nixon. But he went to jail in 1974 on obstruction of justice charges for his involvement in the whole Watergate scandal. But in his arrest, in his conviction, in his heading for jail after being sentenced, he found Jesus. He didn't have anything else at that point. He couldn't rely on his own strength. He couldn't rely on his own set of acquaintances anymore. And someone must have shared with him, there's something better, the man named Jesus. And so Colson said this. This was on the day that he had to turn himself in and go to prison. He said this. This was the real mountaintop experience. He was talking about being arrested and convicted and now having to go into jail. Above and around me, the world was filled with joy and love and beauty. For the first time, I felt truly free, even as the fortunes of my life seemed at their lowest ebb. See, That's what holiness gives us. It gives us peace and it gives us a freedom, even though we may have fallen into a mess. We may be covered with the dirt of the world. As you know, Chuck Colson got out of prison, lived a godly life. Probably not perfect. None of us are perfect. But he lived a godly life. He did wonderful and good things. Oh, my friends, let's just be like Peter has asked us to be, has told us to be holy, just as God is holy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us this day and challenging us. Now would you strengthen us so that we could walk with you. In your name, Jesus, we pray.